All you gotta do is push a button in there, boy, you make it as big enough to read.
Yeah.
Share with us.
Will do. I'm gonna read from Psalms chapter 1. Don't tell nobody.
I'm watching you.
Don't tell nobody my secret code. Go to the Old Testament.
I wanna learn how to run one of these.
Piece of cake.
Hey, that's pretty easy. Look at that. All right. Go to it, man.
Okay. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Luke chapter 1.
Perish. Amen.
Amen.
I wouldn't be able to see the phone.
Yeah.
Just your hymn.
Yeah.
Thank you. Four 28, please. He hideth my soul.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength for each day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh, glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. brightness transported I rise to meet him in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shower the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my love in the depths of his love and calls me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
For our offering number, we 661, please. The ushers would come up front after the last verse, please. 661.
Song I love to sing since I have been redeemed of my Redeemer, Savior, King. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a Christ that satisfied since I have been redeemed. To do his will, my highest pride since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I have a witness bright and clear since I have been redeemed. Dispelling every doubt and fear since I've been. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior. I have a home prepared for me since I have been dwell eternally since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name.
Roger, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, here we do come to you with thankfulness. And again, thank you for this place that you gave to us to gather, sing praise unto you, and hear your word being taught and preached. Father, we continue to ask for your blessings upon this corner. We ask that you watch over the building, property, and our finances, Lord God.
Amen.
And Father, we would take
Johnny, do you have a song for us this morning? Would you come, please? And while he's coming, let me remind you of our evening services tonight at 6 o'clock. Be here and we'll have a good time in the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. You know, when I was lost in my sins and in my sorrows, I had nowhere to turn. Seemed like no one was listening to me. No one cared, that's what I thought. But you know, God in his mercy sent his love in the form of his precious son to call upon my heart. Please. On the stormy sea of Galilee, when he said to Peter, "Come to me," he was calling. Love can call in. And to the dead man Lazarus in the grave, he came much too late to say he was calling. Love came calling. Love came calling like a warm embrace. Every doubt, fear, erased. He was calling. Ooh. Love came calling like a faithful friend. Never be the same again. He was calling. All my love came calling. She had lived a life of such regret, beyond the line of grace, and yet he was calling. Love came calling. Through a veil of tears and bitter pain, she heard his voice so clear and plain. He was calling. Love came calling. Love came calling like a warm embrace. Every doubt, fear replaced. He was calling. Ooh. Came calling like a faithful friend. To never be the same again. He was calling. Oh, love came calling. Long before I ever knew the sound of what could turn my life around, he was calling. Love came calling. When I heard brilliant song of freedom where my heart belongs, calling. Love came calling. Yeah, he was calling. Oh, love came calling. And love came. Oh, love came. Yes, love in the form of Jesus Christ, my Lord, came calling on my soul.
Turn in your Bible, please, to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. That is, they began to move. They began to run down, to puddle up, so to speak. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. This is the time of year when many people are taking vacations. Some of you have already had yours. You've got to wait till next year, do some more planning. Sometimes vacations are taken aboard cruise ships nowadays. People go to Hawaii. They go to the Caribbean. And some even go to Alaska. In fact, my granddaughter Holly and her new husband Eli, who were joining marriage about, 16 days ago, something like that, they went to Alaska from Phoenix. They went in July, the best month of the year in Phoenix. They missed all of that and went to Alaska. I can't imagine these kids nowadays. They where's David today? He's over in Phoenix. He didn't go to Alaska. Anyway, my wife and I went to Alaska on a cruise on our 50th wedding anniversary. You ought to remember that. You're the guys that sent us on it. That was our anniversary gift from you, our church. And it was one of the highlights of my life. I really enjoyed it. I hadn't been on a cruise like that for a long time. The government gave me my first cruise back during World War II, back in the 40s. They gave me a cruise all the way over in the Pacific Ocean. I went over halfway around the world. But here in Genesis, we have a record of the first cruise, the first, very first one. And what we're going to do this morning for a few minutes is to kind of make believe and pretend that we are on this cruise with Noah and his family. Our cruise ship has been completed. It's been built according to the specifications that God Almighty gave to Noah, the guy that built it. Took him 120 years. but he got the job done. It was custom built. And by the way, this will be the maiden voyage for it. It's never been out on the waters before. It's never been broke in. We don't even know that it'll float or whether it will leak or not. It's 45 feet high, three decks, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. It's got one door. And once you go in this, God sends you in through this door and then he shuts it. So you're enclosed in it. It's got one porthole. That's Navy lingo for window. 18 inches. Not very big, is it? Just one. But anyway, that's the way God wanted it. And the other people that are on board our ship for this cruise is Noah and his family. That's his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Eight people besides us. But there's a lot more passengers on board. Well, the rest of the passengers, they're very unique. They are animals. I mean that literally. Two of every species of fowl and cattle and creeping things, male and female. But there's seven of each species of clean animals. God divides the animals between clean and unclean. And he's got seven of the clean ones. One is for sacrifice, and then he's got three pair for reproduction. So that when they begin to reproduce on this new earth, there's going to be three times as many good ones as there are bad ones. God's thinking ahead. He don't want to have more lions than he does lambs. Well, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Now, we go on board this new ship. And we're assigned our quarters by Captain Noah. By the way, this is his first cruise, too. And he's 600 years old. Captain, have you had any prior experience? Nope, he said, I've never been out, not even on a rowboat before. No experience. And you're going to run this ship. You're not an experienced navigator. We don't know how long our trip's going to be. We don't know where we're going. There's no planned itinerary. So we go to our stateroom and we sit there. The ship stays on dry land for one solid week, 7 days. First week of our cruise, boring. 7 days. We just sat around playing pinochle and dominoes and what have you. But then some clouds begin to drift in. We can't see them because we don't have a porthole to look out. But it gets cloudy. We begin to hear the lightning and the thunder, and it begins to rain. It's never rained before. Not for 1,656 years. It hasn't rained. That's the longest drought on record. Check it out. And boy, it seems to be making up for lost time. Because when it starts raining, it rains by the buckets full. It is pouring down rain. What we used to call in Texas a gully washer. You've heard of that term? Brother Lancaster has. Gully washer. And it rained day and night for 40 days and 40 nights without letting it up. And that means that we've been on board here, closed up in this room. I'm beginning to get cabin fever already. 47 days. That's over a month and a half, nearly 2 months. Wasting time. I mean, who do I see? I want to get my money back. Who do I see for a refund? We can't see out the window. But one day as we're sitting there, we feel movement. Hey, what's happening? Water has covered the whole earth, and now our cruise ship, which is so aptly named the Ark, begins to float. You look around. The captain is not at the helm because there is no helm. There is no steering apparatus aboard this yacht. No guidance system at all on board. Outside, all of the mountains, the high hills, are covered with water. Figure it out. The top of Mount Everest, that's the highest mountain in the world, 29,035 feet high, and that thing is 22 and a half feet underwater. That means that the water is 29,057 feet and 6 inches deep over the face of the whole earth. This figures out to slightly over 5.5 miles deep in your front yard. You open the door and step out, you're going to get wet. No man was there to measure it. These are God's figures. He told Moses how deep it was, and Moses wrote it down. By way of contrast, down by Guam in the Pacific Ocean, in the south end of the Mariana Trench, is a place called the Challenger Deep. And the ocean depth over there is 10,994 meters deep. And that means that it's 36,069 feet deep, or 6.83 miles deep. That's deep, isn't it? So the distance between the lowest spot on Earth and the highest spot on Earth is 65,104 feet, or 12.33 miles. I just thought I'd throw that out there at you to give you a concept of what we're talking about here. All life outside the ark is perished. All of the people, all of the animals, everything that has life is now drowned. Nobody can tread water that long. But we're on board the ark. We can't see it because we don't have access to that 18-inch porthole. We're shut up inside. We don't know where we're going. We don't know when we're going to get there. And we don't know where we'll be when we arrive. It's a good trip to take, isn't it? All we can do is just take turns looking up and looking out that little 18-inch porthole. Now let's look at our calendar, though. We're like the inmate in the prison. He's got a calendar on the wall. He's marking the days as they pass off. We came aboard the ark on May the 10th, 2319 B.C. God's very specific about giving us the date, almost the time of day. May the 10th, 2319. It had started raining a week later. Remember, we were on there 7 days before it started raining. And that would have been May the 17th. That it rained for 40 days. That would take us to June the 27th. And then we floated, the Bible tells us, for 150 days. And with the 30-day months, that's 5 months that we floated. Then New Year's Day comes, January the 1st, 2318 B.C. We got some good news. Captain Noah looked out through that 18-inch porthole and he saw the tops of some mountains. And that's what I started to call this sermon today, was seeing the tops of the mountains from the ark. He saw mountaintops. But it would not be until May the 27th, nearly 5 more months, that we finally get to step out of that ark onto dry land. So this cruise that we've taken has lasted us for 1 year and 10 days. So now we're on a new earth, on dry ground finally. We are the only people on earth. The only ones. We got it all to ourselves. Now, during this time that we were on the ark, we didn't have any books to read. We didn't have any television to watch. Most of our time was spent preparing meals, feeding the animals, and things like that. But it also gave us time to socialize, to get acquainted around the supper table with the other people who were on board. Fortunately, we didn't get seasick. Now, of an evening, when we sat down at the supper table, we'd get old Noah, who's nearly 601 by now, we'd get him to reminiscing. And he'd talk about how it used to be, when everyone was violent and wicked and evil as he was growing up. He told how that he lived 84 years with Enos, who was the grandson of Adam and Eve, the first people on earth. And Noah's grandpa, Methuselah, was only 369 years old when Noah was born. And so as he grew up, Noah would hear Methuselah talk about how his father Enoch, Noah's great-grandpa, had walked with God and was not, for God took him, he was translated that he should not see death. Methuselah. He'd say, yeah, I was just 300 years old when my daddy got raptured out. But now let's get back to the present. It's the first day of the 10th month on New Year's Day. And we've seen the mountaintops from a mountaintop, because Mount Ararat, that where Ark is sitting on here, where the Ark landed, is 16,946 feet high. I mean, there's snow on the outside of it. Now, for a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you about the mountaintops. Visible through the 18-inch porthole of the Ark. Jesus is our Ark. And we are in him. The Ark is a type of Christ, and the world outside Christ is perishing. Sinners are drowning in their sins and in their iniquities. Those of us who are believers in Jesus are safe in Christ, who is our Ark. And from our vantage point in him, we can see certain things that other human eyes have never seen before. And as we look out through our porthole, we can see the mountain peak of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. New life on a new earth. When our Ark Christ lands, it will anchor itself on top of Mount Olivet, that 2,723-foot high mountain that's across the brook Kidron on the east side of Jerusalem. That's where Jesus went back to heaven from, that you read about in Acts chapter 1. And now, with his redeemed and glorified saints, the Bible says that Jesus' feet shall stand in that day on top of that mountain, Mount Olivet. He says that that mountain will cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and a very great valley will be formed. And then water will begin to run from underneath the throne of God in the restored temple in Jerusalem. And the further it goes, the deeper and wider that it gets. And it begins to run. It forms a great river in this cleft of the Mount of Olives where it has divided. And it runs out here a ways, and then that river splits. It forks, part of it toward the east and part of it toward the west. Part of it runs over here to the Mediterranean Sea. The other part runs down into the Jordan River Valley, into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea waters are revived and come back to life again. They're healed. And since we are coming back with Christ, our feet also shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives to the east of Jerusalem. There's also another mountain peak that we can see from the Ark of Christ, and that's the kingdom. We see Mount Zion visible from our ark, the holy hill of God's divine presence, 2,536 feet high. It's the highest point in Jerusalem. David had selected this place when he moved the tabernacle from Shiloh to Jerusalem, and Solomon, his son, had sanctified that place by building God a house called the Temple on top of Mount Zion. God lived there on the southern end of the eastern ridge, the dwelling place of God. It will be that for 1,000 years when our ark lands on Mount Zion. The glory of God will reappear, and we shall be with him, ruling as kings and priests during the millennium. But there's another place that we can see from our ark. That's a hill called Calvary. Outside the north wall of Jerusalem, the place of a skull, Golgotha. And on this hill called Calvary is where the old rugged cross became the altar on which Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God and God the Son, gave his life. The Bible tells us that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's where Jesus suffered and bled and died and paid the penalty for the sins of the world, yours and mine. He died so that whosoever will can be saved. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And we know the Bible teaches us that Christ died for our sins. Feet from the cross, the place where Jesus was crucified, is a garden. And in this garden, there is an empty tomb. Sometimes it's called a sepulcher, hewn out of the solid rock where the body of Jesus was laid by the tomb's owner, Joseph of Arimathea, and a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus brought spices to wrap his body in. And with Pilate's permission, they took the body of Jesus down from the cross, wrapped it in the burial clothes with the spices, and laid it in that new tomb that had never been occupied before. A great stone was rolled over the door, and for 3 days and three nights, the body of Jesus rested in peace. His work had been accomplished. The salvation that he came to bring to us was finished. But on that glorious Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He came and rolled the stone away from the door of the tomb and sat upon it, and he announced to the women who were there, he said, "He is not here, he is risen." And he invited them, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And I want to thank you this morning for accompanying me on this cruise. What an exciting time we've had. We've gotten to know one another a little better, and the fellowship with the captain of our vessel has given us a deeper appreciation of his love and his grace and his mercy toward us. Remember this, his presence is always with us. He said, lo, I am with you always. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And number two, his peace will keep us. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And his provision for us is bountiful. He tells us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He says to us, ask and ye shall receive. You have not because you ask not. With a God like that, what else do we need? Shall we stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to us in our time of need. He came to us at a time when the world around us was falling apart, when sin was rampant even in our lives. And he invited us, come unto me, and I will give you rest. We came to him, and he became our ark of safety. And in him, we are secure. In him, we are saved for time and for eternity. And though the floods come, though the rains descend from on high, yet we're safe in Christ. If there's one here today that's never accepted him as their personal Savior, I pray that today they will do that and climb aboard that ark, take advantage of this opportunity to come to Jesus. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. What invitation? Come every soul I sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will dearly give you rest by trusting in his word. Amen. Keep that in mind. God is always near. Keep trusting in Jesus. He's got some good things planned for us out there. Today, we're in Christ. Today, we're floating on the water. But we are at peace because he is in charge. One of these days, he will lead us off the ark onto a new earth with a new heaven and a new Jerusalem. Brother Raul, dismiss our service in prayer, please.